Thank you, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. A strange version of the show today in that we will be on just a little bit less on the regular radio and a little bit more during the bonus hour in the stream. White Sox baseball takes place a little earlier than normal, so a slight change in scheduling. Can you do me a favor?
What
can we
need?
Go back? For people who didn't get to hear the crosstalk with Steve Cochran show, Steve asked a question about advice that your mom had given you, and I just want to make sure I heard it correctly. Her advice to you was what exactly? It had to do with mirrors or a mirror.
I could not walk past a mirror without looking in it when I was younger.
Oh.
And the main thing was we had this giant picture window. So at night, it was like a giant mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do things and dance.
How old were you at the time?
I don't know, under 10.
Yeah. And you would dance in front of the window.
I would just...
Sometimes a crowd would gather outside.
No, but I guess I didn't realize it now that, you know, if I could see myself, people outside could see myself,
That's
too.
That's how those windows work.
Had she just said, don't embarrass me by doing that, I would have stopped. But she said, quit looking in the mirror. That's all you do. And I said, well, I want to make sure I look presentable. And she said, if you look in the mirror too much,
yes,
you will get worms in your stomach. I don't know what the connection is.
Did you believe that?
For
did
a little
while. Did
you
think that was real?
Yeah.
Huh.
I still like looking in a mirror.
And you have had stomach issues. So I wonder.
I have no worms.
So your belief is that if she had just come right to the point and said, don't embarrass me, you would have backed off.
My mom had goofy ways of saying things. You know how, like, you're eating something and you'd bite your cheek?
Yes.
And then it gets a little swollen,
sure.
So you keep biting it in the same
right.
spot?
Because you want to know if it still hurts.
Right.
Well, no, it gets swollen, so as you're chewing, you just seem to get the same spot all the time.
Yes.
My mom said, you know, if you bite your cheek, that means you're gaining weight. I said, it really has nothing to do with that. Your face is getting fat. That's what it
wow.
means.
Wow.
See, my mom would say if you bite your cheek, you're not using your retainer at night.
Oh.
Teeth are
Why
not
were
aligned.
Moms... I mean, listen, my mom loved me, and there's no doubt about it, and she was a great mom. She became a single mom when I was 10.
Yeah.
She had two kids in college. She did a great job, and she did the best she can. However, I don't appreciate that. I didn't appreciate that until I had kids.
Right.
I didn't realize how difficult I must have been as a child and teenager.
And all mothers say at some point, I hope you have kids just like you so you can feel what I feel.
Oh, yeah, it happened
right?
to me.
I think that comes with the mom kit.
Number two was me.
Yeah.
Is me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so weird because, you know, you just don't, all right, mom, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I'm telling my kids, listen, from my experiences, and I wonder why they blow me off sometimes.
Yes.
Because you need to experience these things on your own.
That's true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's 100% true. Now, do you think that now, because the internet exists, because we didn't have the internet when we were kids, a kid could, if a mother says something like, if you look in the mirror, you'll get worms in your stomach, or if you bite the side of your cheek, it means you're getting...
Your face is fat.
A kid now could say, oh, really? And then go to the internet and look it up, and then come back with pages of data disproving the mom's theory. Like, we didn't have that option.
I don't think we would have taken the time.
No,
because
you'd have to go to the library.
Right. You'd have to put a night aside at the library.
Pay 10 cents to make a copy.
Right. Right.
It's. I realize now that it's hard sometimes to let go as a parent.
Yes.
To let your kids do, like, fail on their own.
Yes.
It's, you know, my mom tried to help me and guide me in a very different way.
Yeah. When you were a kid and you were mad at your mom, did you purposely step on cracks on the sidewalk?
Oh, yeah.
I did, too.
And I brought that. I asked my kids if they ever did that.
Yeah.
And they said no. And I said, first of all, I think you're lying. Second of all, you really didn't walk and just stamp on every crack.
Yep.
And they asked me, do you mean crack or line? Because there's a crack in the sidewalk, and then there's a line between...
Right, faulty cement as opposed to just the separation.
Right.
Right.
And they said, you know, because I just would step on the line to break your spine. And I said, oh, okay, that's the updated version of it.
That's much better, much
so
friendlier.
You would go out there and step on the cracks when you were mad at your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I would just stomp on it.
Yeah.
I did.
And then you'd come home and you'd open the door slowly and look for your mom to see if there had been any change in her vertebrae.
Right. You even did that?
Yeah.
That shocks me.
Yeah. And I knew it couldn't possibly
be true,
but you go, you know, on the off chance, I should, you know.
You know, you said something earlier that struck me, though. You said you looked at yourself all the time because you wanted to be presentable.
Well, I just would like to see how my hair looks.
I know, but it's one of those phrases. No one's really worried about if they're presentable. They want to see if they look good.
Well, whatever.
But, I mean, you know, a lot of people say that. You know, I just want to be presentable.
Did you used to, as a kid, when you would go to a store, like a department store, and they would have those mirrors that were
the three-way
mirrors?
Oh, loved it.
It was right at you when it was the side, but then because of it, it would create many more images of you.
Yep.
It wasn't just three.
A tunnel of me.
It was an infinity of you.
Yeah. I liked it.
A tunnel of you, yes. How much time did you spend?
A lot of time.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But again, that was a thing where other shoppers could certainly see you, but you go, I don't care. I got a tunnel of me. I'm doing whatever I want.
And then you'd wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It was fun. I love mirrors. Sorry.
Did you like what you saw?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. That's great.
Yep.
Because isn't that what they say? A lot of times people are looking in mirrors and they're being critical.
They do not. Although, like, can I tell you, if you don't like what you see, you're not going to continue looking in a mirror.
Not the tunnel of me. You got an infinity's worth of people you don't like in there.
Look, they're all waving at me.
Every one of them.
Come on.
Every one of them's waving at me.
Perhaps I should have worked in a fun house.
Perhaps you do.
You do. You totally do.
I guess.
All right. We'll take a break and then discuss this further. If you'd like to jump in, you can at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, several texters coming to your aid with similar stories to yours. Now, your mom told you, just a quick reminder for anybody just tuning in. Well, I guess it'd be new news, too, if you're just tuning in. It's not a reminder. Your mom informed you that because of your love of looking in mirrors, that you would get worms from looking in the mirrors.
If you looked in them too much.
Right.
Which is totally not true.
It is not true.
I looked it up.
No, it's been proven that it's not true. 773 says, my aunt told me that if I bit my nails, I would get worms.
What is with the worms?
There's a bunch of these that are worm-related.
I think that we all do have worms in our body naturally.
Yeah. I don't have any worms in my body. I don't know about you.
You don't have any?
I think that we do.
Yeah, in our intestines.
Well, oh no, that wouldn't have worked. I would have thought, you know, maybe I had a tapeworm and that's why my face got so fat and I bit my cheek.
Oh,
but that's the opposite.
Reverse.
Yeah.
I wish I
had a tapeworm. Maybe I should have looked in the mirror more.
Now, my mom's family all had this thing where if there was a food that you ate a lot of, they would say, you ate so much grapefruit, you're going to turn into a grapefruit. That was like their thing to say. Whatever your food was that you enjoyed a lot of, that was their word of caution.
Like if you ate carrots, you're going to turn orange.
You'll turn into a carrot. Yeah. No, they would say turn into a carrot.
They would never say it for a good food. It was always a cake or pizza.
Right. You eat so much Cracker Jack, and I know one day I'm going to turn into Cracker. I get it. But then
you'll have a prize, and people will like you.
Right. Right.
And you couldn't ask Jeeves back then.
Yes.
So.
Yes. you and I have mentioned this several times, and I'm not saying this is a deterrent to Steve Cochran's show, but every year on the Friday before Mother's Day, everybody on the show brings their mom in, and it's difficult for you and me.
I know.
Right? And we're not saying please don't do it, but it's just, and it shouldn't be, but it is, because you realize it's one of those times where you go, oh, I'm really missing a lot. I don't have my mom here.
Plus, our moms were funny on the air.
They were very funny on the air. Yeah.
Your mom came in and subbed for you when you were on vacation, your mom and dad.
My parents both did, yeah.
My mom was the original Mrs. Claus at Brookfield Zoo for Holiday Magic so many years ago. So she used to play the part of Mrs. Claus on our show.
Right. She was great.
Well, please remember this. She was so unbelievably sweet to all the little kids who called in.
Yeah.
And then I would like say a crack and she'd be like, shut up, you're not getting anything.
Right.
She was pretty mean to me.
She would turn on a dime.
I know.
Yes, she would. But here's my question. I know it's been, how long ago did
22 years ago, a month after our wedding.
22 years ago. All right, so what do you miss the most? I'm sure you've thought about this at some point. There's got to be a thing or two that you miss the most about her. What would that be?
The ability to call her when things aren't going great.
I know that I talk,
like I said, it was understood that my mom loved me, but when we were growing up, it, maybe your family was different, but it was, and Mary, it sounds like yours was similar. It wasn't a lot of lovey-dovey stuff. It really is like the kids are all right. The mom is just kind of snippy to you, and it's all about business. It was understood that she loved me, but she didn't say it that much. She wasn't a big hugger. I, on the other hand, I'll hug anyone who will have me.
I've seen, and sometimes people that won't.
Right, that's true.
Hey, I don't know you, lady. Stop hugging me.
But, you know, when a major milestone would happen, she'd be the first person I'd want to call. I wanted her to meet my kids.
Right.
She never got to meet my kids.
That's the biggest tragedy.
Yep.
That they don't get her in their lives. Yeah, that's where it's bad.
And, you know, again, beyond the grave, she kind of dug into me a little bit because I just didn't like redheads. I don't know why. It was just a irrational... fear of redheads or something.
Was it a fear or a dislike?
I don't know. I just there weren't that many of them, so I was like, oh, redheads, they're weird. And this is just me growing up. There weren't that many redheads. So my mom's like, God, I just absolutely love redheads. And I said, if I ever have a redhead, I'm sending them back. It was just a joke.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then, lo and behold,
you had Prince Harry.
Jim was in the delivery room with me, and the first question I asked, even before, is he okay? Is he? And Jim's like, he's like Bozo.
Oh, wow.
So I got my redhead.
Wow.
And I can't imagine him being a different colored hair. Really. But it's just, it's so funny. But that would be the biggest thing is her not meeting the kids. But mainly just when something is really good or really bad, that would be the first person you'd call.
Sure.
What about you?
The thing I miss the most is the thing that drove me craziest about my mom. And that is her, when telling a story, she had this attention to detail that was just insane. Where she would tell you things that were so not pertinent to the story. Just little details, you know, like if my parents would go to somebody's house, if they would visit the house, she would talk about their duct work for no reason at all. I would just go, why are you telling me about their duct work? For some reason, she would zero in on TV shows. Family Matters comes to mind. I've never seen an episode of Family Matters, but she watched it every week. And she'd go, did you see Family Matters? And I go, no. And then she would tell me the story. Now, Family Matters with the commercials.
Which one is that?
That was the one with Urkel.
Your mom loved
it. So an episode of Family Matters runs 22 minutes if you take the commercials out. Her telling you about Family Matters took 32 minutes. I can't figure it out. You know, she would tell me little, and I'd go, Mom, how in the world did all this happen in one episode of Family Matters? Wait, I'm not done. And then Urkel comes back in. Oh, no. But I knew that would happen. Because it was insane how her stories would just meander and go on and on and on. But that's the thing. And I knew it would end up that way. I miss that the most.
Our moms really were really funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really were. And I miss that every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, she annoyed me when I was a teenager. But now that I'm an adult and have teenagers, I know exactly what I did to her.
Isn't it funny how at some point it fits in? You go, oh, that's why. Like, there was so much stuff with both of my parents. I'm like, why would they do that? That doesn't. And then you have kids and you go, oh, now it
makes total
sense.
See.
I understand now. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting transition tomorrow as Steve's show has all the moms around. And then you and I come in and we're like, oh, here we go again. I'm not asking them to stop doing it. I love when they do it. But it's difficult sometimes, right? We'll get through it.
We will.
We'll be fine. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a whole big show ahead. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. Thank you, Steve. We just want to quickly mention, we were talking about some of us having moms still for Mother's Day, luckily, and some of us sadly not having them anymore. And Mary, this is your first year without your mom. Your mom died a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's almost been a year, actually.
It's been a year?
Almost.
Yeah.
So this is your first Mother's Day without her?
Mm-hmm. But I remember last Mother's Day because it was right during the Walk of Fame. And she came to the Walk of Fame.
I know, I loved seeing her.
Her last big trip, you know, out and about. So that meant a lot.
Will this be a difficult Mother's Day for you because of this, or you'll be okay?
I was okay until today with this show. We talked about it all morning, and, you know, all the memories come back. And, all that. So, yeah, it's been kind of a tough morning. I didn't realize it would be, but...
Bill and I have talked about this soon after our moms died, and not that soon after. You'd be out shopping and say something like, God, my mom would love... Oh, never mind. Yeah. I don't need to get it. It's weird.
The weirdest thing is, I think you want to pick up the phone until when something exciting happens, or when you're just in a foul mood, or you felt like you did something that was wrong or that hurt somebody. Your mom would always be
make
like,
it better.
It's fine, you know.
Right.
She was she's, I think, the only person that you could do that.
Stabilizes everything.
Not even your husband, you know. I mean, I think your mom is the one that would kind of, you know, always love you unconditionally.
And no offense to dads out there, and I find myself saying this a lot. I know dads too, but I don't know. There's just something about a mother. Dads don't kiss your boo-boos as much.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well said, Wendy.
Very
that is
I'm
the
coming
difference.
Up with great quotes
that
today. A
is
tunnel
the difference
of me.
Between moms and dads.
Well, they don't, and some dads do, okay? But the majority of dads don't kiss boo-boos as much.
Yes.
Bertrand, your mom still around?
Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
You're the lucky
We're
one of
see
us.
See him this year, this weekend?
How many years of boo-boo kissing for your mom?
I kissed a lot number of boo-boos in my
I know
lifetime,
you did.
By the way.
I know, so did Jim, but I don't even want to say it, but when a kid gets hurt, don't they usually go to mom first?
Yeah.
Because the moms give in and give them whatever they want.
It's called unconditional love, as Mary mentioned.
Let's not forget that, Steve.
Sometimes love is saying, buck up.
Right. Wendy, you and I are going to have to write a check to Kathy and Judy because we have to bring back Sex Thursdays for a second.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Yes.
Why do I have to write
There's
the check?
There's a story. Your name's on the show. There's a story in the paper today about what's going on in Sacramento, California, because the California Department of Education in Sacramento is deciding exactly how much sex is allowable in sex education classes. Now, did you you probably had sex education in high school, but probably not grade school. Did you or did you?
In fifth or sixth grade, and I think fifth grade. Maybe
you saw
sixth.
The film.
Yeah.
The film.
About, you know, how... A girl becomes a woman. Yep. I think that was junior high because I became a woman in fifth grade.
Yeah.
I was very quick.
Were you in the film? Did they show you in the film?
No, but that could have changed my whole life. I could have been an actor.
Here's one of your own students. She'll tell you that becoming a woman is a very exciting time.
I was the first one to have to wear a bra instead of an undershirt. I got a pimple before everyone else. Wow. I was the tallest girl.
Wow.
Until
you won
like
all the awards.
I think I was this tall in fifth grade. It's like I grew and then I never grew anymore.
No wonder you're always looking at yourself.
It all makes sense.
But it was just basically about how hair grows in places and girls get their period.
Right.
It was not sex. It was
right. The grade school
puberty.
Version of it is just that. It doesn't go much more into detail, right?
Yeah.
Because I've mentioned this on the show before. At our school, we were told the girls were all going to go into the hall and see a film about Belgium. And all the boys are like, why can't we see a film about Belgium? And they go, because Belgium doesn't apply to you. It only applies to the girls. And we all bought that. We're like, oh, all right.
Again, if people would just tell you the truth.
No. But one of my friends had to go to the office and he passed by the hall and he walked over and he watched part of the film and he goes, this is not about Belgium. If it is, I'm not going to Belgium. It's a place I'm not sure I understand.
And then as a parent, I think before Michael saw the film in junior high, the parents were invited to go watch it.
Yes.
And Jim and I just laughed through the whole thing. I really felt very immature, but I'm like, these kids are just going to laugh. It was all cartoon things about how hair sprouts under your armpits and then below the belt. And it was stupidly funny.
Now, if I remember right, with your boys, you were the one who told them about the facts of life, but not Jimmy, correct?
Yeah, it was just a question that my younger son asked about where babies come from. And he had
Belgium. I know that for a fact. If there's one thing in this world I know, Wendy, it's that babies come from Belgium.
That would have been a good answer. But it was wrong information, and he said it in front of his older brother, and I said, well, you're not quite exactly there.
Yes.
And I explained it, and they all went, ew, and walked away.
Oh. And were you happy that that was their response, or what were you hoping for?
No, that was it. I can't remember how old Dylan was. He was pretty young. He might have been like third grade or something.
Yeah.
And Michael's four school grades ahead of him. And then they asked a little, each year they'd ask a little more stuff.
Yeah.
And I would just try to answer them honestly.
You would never say, this is Jimmy's the dad, your boys, you should ask him. That never happened, right? You would just, you
no.
would just answer.
I think there's a parent that will handle this, and I don't know which it is. I guess since they're boys, you'd think the father.
Yeah.
But Jim didn't know what to say, and a lot of times they'd ask him, and he'd be like, I don't know. Go right. ask your mother.
Yeah.
And I just remember one time I was explaining things to Michael, and Jim was at work, and he called, and he said, hey, I just pulled in the driveway. What are you doing? And I said, I'm telling Michael about the birds and the bees and sex. And Jim, there's a pause, and then he goes, I'm pulling out of the driveway. I said, that's what we just talked about.
Right. That was a euphemism. A well-timed euphemism.
It's weird, though. My mom never told me anything about that.
She didn't tell you Mm-mm. anything.
No, I learned.
Did she believe that it was the school's job to
no.
tell you?
No. No. Again, my dad died when I was 10, and I know that he took a book out of the library and had me read this book to him, mm-hmm. and it was about a little girl who becomes a woman.
So he very smartly figured, because you're reading the book to him, you'll be absorbing the knowledge.
Right.
Very smart move.
It was, because it's not like he was telling me about it. I was
right.
reading it to him, and he happened to be losing his eyesight at the time. So he was just like, here, read me this book, because it was frequent that I read him books.
Yes.
And it was all about a little girl turning into a woman. And I wasn't really that embarrassed. I just was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, so if you have any questions, you know, you can ask me or mom. And I'm like, I'm good.
Did you know at the time, could you figure out what that plot line was, that he was doing this so that you would
No.
No?
Not till about the second or third page.
Oh, then you figured
like,
it out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
But most of the stuff I learned was from Lenny Campick. A friend.
I'm hoping. Okay, good. Just some guy.
She told me the real stuff. Because I was told, you know, that when a woman gains weight, she is pregnant because God wanted her to have a baby. So I went around congratulating all these heavy people.
Oh.
Congratulations on the baby.
Oh.
And my mom's like, no.
That's not how it is. No.
So then Lenny Campick set me straight. And then, of course, you're like, there's no way.
Yeah, when you first hear what the facts of life are, you go, I don't know.
My mom and dad did not do that.
Yeah.
Specifically,
right.
What are you talking about, Wendy?
Save it for the stream.
Steve needs to sit. But then did you look at other people in the neighborhood and go, okay, that guy and that, I could see that, but I can't see that.
You still do that?
Yes. Yes.
It's a weird, that is a weird moment for a kid, though, to look at, you know, your friend's parents, and then your mind all of a sudden goes, ew.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean.
And sometimes you go, well, they've got four kids, so they've done it at least four times.
Right.
Like you do the math in
right.
your head. They might have done it more, but we know for sure four times.
Right. God, we were stupid. And now I actually should ask my kids. They get a little more involved in high school. They talk about condoms. Dylan's a sophomore, and they were talking about sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes. That's a big part of sex ed now, anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing to talk about.
But I wonder if now, like there's aspects of sexual education that didn't even enter into it because it wasn't a factor when, like sexting, that was the future when we were kids. Nobody, that couldn't be an element of sex education. But now I would almost hope that they would tell you the pluses and minuses of something like that.
What's the plus of sexting, Bill? Does it depend who you're sexting?
How much time do we have? But you know how, like, I wonder if the school feels that it's their place to say, hey, this might seem like nothing could possibly go wrong, but here's a couple of things that could go wrong, you know? I wonder if that plays into it at all. Because we had, well, let's do this. We'll take a break and then we'll talk a little bit more about this. Jump in. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about sex ed and the way it is now, the way it used to be. We're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you.
Birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the thing and the other thing.
Wow. You should teach sex ed. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Kathy and Judy, you're getting a check. The check is in the mail. It's Sex Thursday, a return to Sex Thursday. We're talking about sex education because in California, in Sacramento, California, they're having a hard time deciding exactly what is and isn't allowable in a sex education class.
All right, well, that's interesting. Mary has a story for us. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Wendy. How you doing?
Great. What do you got for us?
Well, my friend and I were talking about how we learned about the birds and the bees, and her story was rather funny. She said when she found out about it, she went, "Really? I know my father would do that, but my mother never would."
You know, that's an accurate depiction, because you think of it like that. Like, there's no way my father did that to my mother. She let him.
And I just looked at her and I said, "Chris, where did you come from?"
That is
but
so
she's
funny.
She's an only child, so maybe that was the answer.
Maybe. Very funny, Mary. Are you a mother or do you have a mother? We want to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. I'm the mother of three wonderful children.
How many total?
You are such a smart aleck.
Oh,
yes,
well.
He is.
I cleaned that up because I'm a Southside girl, and I was thinking something.
Nicely done.
All right, Mary.
Thanks,
well,
Mary.
Have a great weekend.
Really appreciate
it. And happy Mother's Day to you, Wendy.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Mary.
Wendy, a text has come in saying, it says, "I think my entire junior high school class must have been in 1968. We learned the facts of life from a small paperback novel entitled Linda's Favorite Subject." Does that name mean anything to you? I don't think I've ever heard of that book, Linda's Favorite Subject.
I know a lot of girls read Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret by Judy Blum.
Does that cover sex ed, though?
No, it covers your period.
Oh, it does? Oh.
So that was a lot. That's a very popular book, or was, when I was growing up. I don't remember Linda.
The book that my parents used for my brother and myself, and then most of their friends used for their kids, was a book called Where Did I Come From? Which was a very accurate portrayal of what's going on during sex, but it was told from the standpoint of cartoon people.
That's how I like to imagine it, quite honestly.
It's better when it's cartoon people and when you get cartoon sound effects during the act. Whoop, whoop. I like that kind of idea. That's better. But that was the book, like, if you couldn't find it at the library or a bookstore, it went from family to family in our area going, "My kids need the talk. Here, use this book." It'll be very, very informative. I don't know if it's still in print, but
I'm sure it is.
I thought it was a good way to learn.
That's a good way to open up the conversation, too. I never thought about it until you said it, that my dad was doing me a favor, but didn't want to just go, you know, "Hey, let's do this really awkward talk
right now.
He's like, "Hey, why don't you read this book to me?"
Right.
And really, about a page or two in, I was like, "Oh, God,
I get it now."
I get it.
Yeah. Every once in a while, my dad would want to take a. He'd go, "Hey, you and I should take a ride," and I go, "Here it comes. Here it comes." And then that ride was always, you know, the first 2 or 3 minutes was just pleasantries. "Everything good at school? Yeah. Seeing anybody? You know, that kind of stuff." "Hey, I was thinking," and then, "Oh, here it goes. I know what's coming." If you have any questions or comments or ideas that you want to run past me, it was always that, you know.
Did you ever ask him?
No.
Wouldn't you have gone to a friend before your parent back then?
Yeah.
I mean, now I love when I get asked the questions and I try to be 100% honest and, you know, I giggle about it and don't act like it's forbidden. Because a lot of these, I mean, think about it. If they're teaching about sex ed and people have sex.
Yeah.
You know, there are emotional aspects of it, too, that I don't think they get into.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And I think that might be important.
I remember we got it. All right. So in grade school, nothing. And then in high school, it was part of gym class.
Yeah.
One of the sections of gym class was health. And I do remember that there were always a small percentage of parents that would complain to the school because it was mandated by the state that they teach this. And there was always a couple of parents that would say, "My son or daughter," even though we were 13 or 14 at the time, "they're not ready for this at the age of 13 or 14. You know, and I don't know. I guess you can make the argument that some kids might not be ready, but I think the majority of them at 13 or 14 have at least a normal curiosity about it, right?
And, you know, the difference between now and then is we were kind of, I think our parents, I can only speak for my mom, but I think they felt the less we know, the better we'll be.
Right.
Like, if we tell them about this or if we get them condoms, they're just going to do it.
Right.
I think the parent these days are like, kids are well aware of what's going on, so let's prepare them.
We didn't have the internet or satellite or cable television. It
was on TV, didn't you?
If you didn't mind, like, watching a bouncy signal going, hey, I think I saw part of a body. I think. I'm not sure. But, like, now, because it's so everywhere, I would feel like how could you not tell a kid at the age of 12 or 13 or 14 what's what?
They already know what's going on.
Right.
So arm them with proper information, open up the lines of communication so they ask you the questions.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of time, Mark, but we are curious about this. You had a sex talk, and who gave it to you?
My grandmother.
Wow. Why? How did that happen?
Because both my parents worked, and for some reason, my grandmother, who was very modern thinking, this was like in 68, felt that it was important that we knew about stuff because everything she was hearing about in the newspaper and on TV.
How'd that go for you? Was it awkward?
Awkward was, I'm still scarred by it for some reason, I'm 65.
Oh, my God.
But because we always had her around, we just got used to those kinds of talks. I mean, she was always... She was the one that took me to the Art Institute, got me involved in things, and took my sister to a different place and my kid brother. But she did each one separately. So by the time she got to my kid brother, my sister and I were laughing so hard because we never told him anything. It was one of the few things we held over him, over his head, until he hit that 13 years of age when it was his turn.
That's Sounds like funny. A great grandmother.
Yeah.
She was. She was a great grandmother. Aww. I was very fortunate. Very
Thanks,
fortunate.
Mark. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Thank you so much to you and yours.
When a man, let's call him Herbert Hoover, meets a woman, it'd be hard hearing that from your grandmother. Grandma, do you have any hard candies instead of this? Anything but this, please. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. Thanks, Steve. Are you able to stick around a little bit?
You know, I've got to go record the Mincing Rascals.
Oh.
Sorry. Really? What? You know, the live radio show, I think, takes precedence over that. We need you, Bertrand.
What are you doing?
We want to talk
about you.
Want to talk about that upside down okay sign and when all of a sudden that turned to mean white supremacy?
Yeah, I don't. We were talking about that some yesterday with John, and I've never known that symbol either way until this week.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, at Tuesday's game at Wrigley, Doug Glanville, who does on-the-field reporting for the Cubs, was filing one of his reports during the game, and there was a guy behind him making a gesture that some say is a game, an okay game sign. It's the
circle game.
The circle game. It's the everything's okay symbol upside down. Other people say that it is a white supremacist term or gesture. The Cubs have just said that they are banning the fan. They don't mention his name.
How did they find him? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's easy.
I can't imagine
that's the
thing in the
world. They got video of the guy. Somebody just said, hey, I know that guy. And they said his name and they found him. He's banned. It says, 2 days after a fan was seen making the OK symbol with his hand on NBC Sports Chicago's broadcast of the Cubs game, the team has said that they have permanently banned the man from Wrigley Field. Permanently. Former MLB outfielder Doug Glanville was reporting live during Tuesday night's game against the Miami Marlins when the fan who was seated behind him was spotted flashing a peace sign before making and holding the okay gesture. That symbol, it says, has been used for many different things, one being a white power symbol, according to the Anti-Defamation League. That has been adopted by white supremacist groups. It has also been used as part of the circle game in which people try to trick others into looking at a circle that has been made with their hands.
The first time I saw it was on Malcolm in the Middle.
Now, did you mention that yesterday? Because
we were talking to Steve Cochran off the air today that. Because I saw it on Malcolm in the Middle.
One of my friends mentioned that yesterday, that they would play that game. I don't remember that.
Oh, I totally remember it. And they would punch each other. I think Reese, the older bratty brother, started it.
Yeah.
And I did a little digging because yesterday we were talking about this on WGN Extra, and you can join us. We'll be there from 11:30 on today. Usually we're there from noon to 1. And it started kind of as a hoax thing. The apparent racist rebirth of that Circle Games symbol is tracked by anti-hate groups like the Anti-Defamation League to a 2017 hoax campaign that was orchestrated on a notorious message board called 4chan. And I've heard of that.
Of 4chan or of the...
4chan. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's kind of an alt-right type message board type thing.
Okay.
The OK hand gesture, and by the way, this is from NBCLosAngeles.com.
Mm-hmm.
The OK hand gesture originated as one of these hoaxes in February 2017 when an anonymous 4chaner announced Operation OKKK, telling other members that we must flood Twitter and other social media websites, claiming that the OK hand sign is a symbol of white supremacy.
So he was doing it almost like The Onion used to publish headlines that were fake. This guy was doing it saying, let's spread the word that this symbol is a white supremacist symbol, when in reality, at the time, it wasn't.
Right, but I don't know the motivation behind this person who is posting it, because maybe they believe it and wanted to start a movement.
Oh, maybe.
But all in all, it just started with that post.
Yeah.
The Southern Poverty Law Center says prominent white nationalists were using this symbol as early as 2015.
Oh.
It's 2019. How come none of us here have heard of it?
Right.
How could that be? Usually, you know, one of us would be in the dark,
right?
But none of us knew that this was a white supremacy thing.
Yesterday when we talked about it on the stream, it was you, it was me, it was Jasmine, our producer, and Kim Gordon, and we were all doing the story, and no, none of the four of us had ever seen or heard of this before.
I know.
Right.
The U.S. Coast Guard suspended a member for forming the alleged white power hand symbol in an MSNBC video in 2018. Four police officers in Alabama were also suspended after making the sign in a photo outside of a drug bust. The accused mass shooter in Christchurch, New Zealand, flashed that sign during a court appearance. So it has been out
there. Yeah. So has anybody... the Cubs just banned this guy for life. Has anybody talked to this guy and
said... That's what I want to know.
What exactly were your intentions? How much did you know of this symbol? Has that been done by anybody, do we know?
I
can't find any documentation of it. I've been looking.
And, I mean, you know,
why... Although it'd be easy to lie. I mean, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know anything about him, but...
Why don't we? Why hasn't that been released?
My belief is that's hours away. At some point, we're going to know who he is and a little bit more about him. But if you're him and they're questioning you, how hard would it be to go, yeah, I used to watch Malcolm in the Middle all the time. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was just doing what they used to do on Malcolm in the Middle. You could probably sell that if you wanted to.
Although we don't know when they got, you know, in touch with him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Everyone's been talking about Malcolm in the Middle. I think that, you know, he could use that as an excuse. But if they got to him, it sounds like they found him pretty quickly. And I have to be honest with you, that shocks me.
You didn't think that would happen, but they've got the guy's on videotape. It's so easy.
Yeah, but
somebody's
what if he's a guy from New York who's here for the weekend? How do you find out who that is?
Don't you just think that because of the World Wide Web, everybody's connected now?
Well, then why can't they find these missing pregnant women?
That's a good question.
You know,
I
thought that they'd have a difficult time locating him. Don't know if he's from Chicago. Don't know anything about him.
You know how
I
sometimes
bet we will.
There's a crime committed and the guy is so far back. It's a closed circuit TV camera, so it's grainy and awful.
Yeah.
And you see a shape and you go, no one's going to know who that is. And then 6 hours later, they know who that guy is.
Kudos to the...
Yeah.
The authorities out there. Bill, we have to take a quick break, but we'll continue talking about this OK sign and when it turned into a sign of white supremacy as opposed to the Circle Game and punch me in the arm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Neither
are fun, Wendy. 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us with your thoughts. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We can't return. We can only look behind from where we came.
Joni Mitchell did a song called The Circle Game, which I knew nothing about. What did you say off the air? It didn't sound...
I knew that Joni Mitchell would somehow get involved. This is so Joni Mitchell of her.
Well, the circle game, honestly, saw it on Malcolm in the Middle. You hold your upside down okay sign. You're showing a circle, basically. And then
you punch Frankie Muniz.
That's always fun.
That's how it's supposed to work, Wendy.
And then it turned into a white supremacy symbol. Here we go. Some have pointed out, as we mentioned, the confusion over the alleged racist salute and the circle game, popular among kids in schoolyards. One person makes a circle, as we said, with their index and thumb, holds it below their waist, and if another person looks at it, they receive a playful punch to the shoulder. Sometimes not so playful.
Right.
Depending who's playing.
Right.
Many social media users have been quick to mention this, including in this Wrigley Field incident, and dismiss the racist accusations outright. In 2018, a former law clerk of Supreme Court Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh was accused of making the finger formation during a confirmation hearing. Hmm. Did you know that?
I did not.
They found the guy who did it yesterday. He's been banned from every future Cubs game from now till eternity.
Yes.
And what did they say? If he's caught going in the park, they're going to arrest him or something?
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I didn't know that part. Wow.
All right. Well, we just were unclear as to when this symbol changed from the circle game to something else. Jan, you have an answer for us or think you do?
I don't have an answer for that specific symbol, but this is what I know a little bit about white supremacists. Since the Charlottesville thing happened where the woman was killed, they are trying to be more subtle about their approaches. They want to be under the police radar. And so they have websites for recruitment. They want to look mainstream. They want to be subtle. They've taken the swastika symbol off of their shields. So I'm not surprised that this is indeed a white supremacist kind of thing, because their whole approach has changed, yet their numbers have increased.
But anybody could say that about, like, I make a sign where it's my thumbs up and I've changed it to something else. I would like to have more information on who's doing this and who started it and who... Did you know about this before the story came to light, Jan?
I did not, but I have followed, like, the ACLU and the Poverty Center, and if you look at a map of growing hate groups across the country... It's alarming, and in our area, it's also alarming. So it's not that I know about this specific symbol, but I know about the growth of the hate groups.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate you listening,
Jan.
That's
the best I can do. No,
thank you. Happy Mother's Day, if it applies.
And same to you.
Thank you very much.
Wendy, here's part of the statement. The statement released on Wednesday by Cubs president of business operations, Crane Kenny, who first connected the gesture with more offensive meanings. An individual seated behind Mr. Glanville used what appears to be an offensive hand gesture associated with racism. He told this to the Washington Post. A day later, the Cubs said in a statement, this is yesterday, they made repeated attempts to reach the individual who had flashed the hand signal and ultimately determined that he will not be permitted on the grounds of Wrigley Field or any other ticketed areas indefinitely. This came after Crane Kenny told 670 The Score that it's more likely than not that this person was using that hand signal in a racist way of interfering with everybody's enjoyment of the game. So somehow the Cubs determined, and I don't know how, because you would almost think to do this, you'd have to have a Q&A with this guy and say,
guy,
what do you know about this? What were your intentions?
Check his background, see if he's had any connections
to
these people.
Perfect. And like I said earlier, it would be easy to lie your way through this and say, boy, no one's more shocked than I am. All I know is it means it's that circle game where you punch your brother. That's all I know. You could probably do that. But in your opinion, are they doing the right thing? Have the Cubs made the right move on this?
I need more information before I can say that. And I know that it was tweeted out there and brought to the Cubs' attention.
Right.
And then I'm just wondering, if no one brought it to anybody's attention, would it be such a big deal?
Right.
Like we...
Well, the Cubs are... They're on a tightrope here because we had the issues earlier with the Cubs' senior ownership, or part of the father of ownership of the Cubs, with Mr. Ricketts. And then you also have the Addison Russell story, which has kind of blossomed in the last day or two, his return to the Cubs. So the timing on this is a little delicate. You know, the Cubs have to do everything they can to ensure the fan base that, you know, they're doing everything they can to make it a pleasurable, enjoyable experience. So,
and someone else has texted that the upside down OK hand sign is also used for a different word in American Sign Language, and it's not a nice word.
Oh, really? Really? I didn't know that part.
Yeah, it starts with an A.
I think I'm pretty sure. I'm
not,
great.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that's
man,
what he was
doing. I
think
I know this one.
And that's not nice, but it's not racist.
Right.
I need more information before I a judgment call.
Yeah. But somehow they were able to decipher without reaching him. Crane Kenny said earlier that they've determined that that was his intent. So I don't know how that was done.
They had to have reached out to him. How could they just say that?
They had to have reached out to him, but I'm surprised that any decision was made without them sitting down with him and figuring out what's what. Wouldn't you think that would be integral to this?
Crane Kenny also said that they made multiple attempts to contact the fan.
Without
success.
Interesting.
Well, so how can they judge that he did that?
Well, you would think that guy, if he is indeed innocent or believes he has a chance of convincing them of his innocence, would go out of his way to make this right.
Are you kidding? I wouldn't want to be identified if I was doing a stupid thing.
He's going to be identified. There's no way in the world you won't know who this is in a day.
I'm hearing mixed stories here that they have identified. Eric, do we know that they have exactly figured out who it is?
They
know who it is. We just don't know who it is.
But if they knew who it is, we would know who it is. There's no reason to keep this private. I don't think they know who it is. I think they're just saying that.
Do you want to make a side bet that by this time tomorrow, you got it, $5 tomorrow, we'll know his name?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying right now, I don't think they have identified him.
The Cubs have.
I don't believe them. Don't we know who it is? If they identified him, wouldn't that leak out somewhere to the media?
That's what'll happen today.
I don't know how to make this
either better. That or this guy's going to start calling stations saying,
I'm
put
innocent.
Me on the air. I want to tell my side of the story.
Right.
That's what Bill said. And if he's innocent, you'd say that. But if they haven't contacted him, and, you know, we don't know if he lives here or somewhere else. They say they've located him and reached out to him.
Yeah.
But if that's not really true, there's no way this guy would call in and go, hey, it's me, by the way.
I'm the guy. All right. We must take a break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Join us there. It'll be a lot of fun. The bonus hour today is bonus 90 minutes. Or stick around here for White Sox baseball.